Good morning, and welcome to the Garden Conversation. This is another one in the series of One Crop at a Time. And this morning, I'm talking to Jasky Zuber from Skagway. I have a good way of massacring names, and this time I just turned it around. And anyway, Brooke is from Skagway, and we are going to talk about peas this morning. That is the crop of the day of peas. And I do want to remind everybody that what you're going to hear on this garden conversation is not necessarily what you're going to find on the internet, because we are talking about growing peas in the Upper Lynn Canal. And so in Haines and Skagway and Clequan, it may be a little different. In fact, not maybe, it will be a lot different than growing it in California or someplace like that. So, but you have grown peas outside of Skagway, right, Brooke?
Yeah, I have grown peas on other people's farms and gardens. I haven't had my own farm or garden, so seeing the peas from beginning to end, you know, that I haven't done outside of Skagway.
Except this year you did. I mean, just to give everybody a background, you are the garden manager of the Lazy Daisy Farm, right, in Skagway?
Right.
And you did grow peas, and we will talk about that experience a little bit, your experience of growing peas this summer. So let's start out by just saying there's a couple different varieties, three varieties of peas, and probably most people are familiar with them. There's the shelling peas. That's the kind that, you know, you take the pea out of the pod and you can buy them. Well, they're wonderful eaten fresh, but you can buy them frozen or canned, and that is sometimes called the English pea as well. And then there's the flat pea, which is what you get in stir fries. And then there is the snap pea. I call them the snap pea, which is the edible pod. And you're saying that's your favorite, the snap pea?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love being able to just pick them right off the vine, and it's an easy way to share with people, because you can just say, oh, like, go to the pea trellis and pick some peas, because almost always the pea trellis is abundant in the summer.
I know. It's one of my favorites. It's wonderful for kids. You know, it's a surefire hit for kids to be able to pick peas off the vine. And I actually like the shell peas, too. It's one of my joys to eat shell peas standing at my pea trellis and just shelling the peas and eating those, too.
Yeah. Nice.
We actually, in our family, my husband likes the edible pods, and I like the shell peas. I like them all, but as favorites. So I grow both. So actually, I grow all three kinds. So let's start with the beginning and talk about planting. How do you plant your peas generally?
Well, I preferably plant them as soon as the ground is workable.
Mm-hmm.
That is always going to be the best, and they're just going to perform the best, like most things. But if that's not possible, I plant them in one of those flat trays. They're 20 inches by 10 inches.
Just the standard black, those black plastic
just
things, right?
Black trails. They need to have holes in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I have done it without holes, and you can do it, but you have to make sure they don't get overwatered, or they'll just rot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to let them, you plant them real close, about 2 inches at the most, maybe even closer, because you have to wait for their roots to form a mat before you can transplant them, if you want that transplanting to be quick and painless.
Mm-hmm. So we're guessing probably 3 to 4 weeks after you plant them, there's enough root kind of to create that mat in the soil?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you take that whole thing and plant it?
Yep. So I take the whole thing and I just make sure there's a nice big spot for it, plant it, and make sure that the soil meets the edges. And I like to do that on either side of a trellis, of like an A-type trellis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're talking, it's not necessarily in a row. It's more in a,
wide. Path.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or a band, I guess.
Mm-hmm. A band. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for. And people on the Garden Conversation have heard me talk about doing the same thing, planting in a rain gutter. And it's the same system. You have an instant garden, because the pea shoots are already up, and you just are planting them in the soil, and voila. It's a very fun thing to walk away from your pea trellis and have your little peas growing already. So,
I agree.
But so now a way of doing succession is to plant those and then at the same time direct seed some peas. So those direct seeded peas are going to be 3-4 weeks later than the ones, they'll catch up a little bit, but you'll definitely have your earlier peas will be the ones that you planted in the mat, and your later ones are going to be your direct seeded peas.
Oh, awesome.
So now one of the things that I don't have any experience with is eating and using pea shoots. And so you have done that quite a bit. And so how do you take them off the vine and when do you use them? Let's talk about that a little bit.
So there's a couple different ways you can get your pea shoots. One way is to seed them in those same flasks or some sort of microgreen tray, which will have little like 1-inch or 1/2-inch slits in it. And you let that grow up to about 4 or 5 inches, and then you just cut all of it down. And it's kind of a single go in those trays just because there's only so much soil and root room in those.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way, but that's a lot of seed use.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I found, which was kind of an experiment this year because I had some, I had to order a lot of things quite late this year. And so seeds was one of those things. And something that I already had on the farm was field pea seeds. And so I scattered those out in the field. And my plan was to just do a big microgreen harvest straight from the field. And after I cut them down, they kept coming back. And so I kept cutting them, and they grew a little quicker than I could cut, you know, the 4 or 5 inches down. And so I started taking the tendril tops. And it just turned into a wonderful discovery that the peas will keep producing these tender shoots that are about anywhere from 2 to 5 inches. And anywhere where you see the leaf is the bottom leaf on that tendril is still kind of folded in. That whole shoot above that is going to be tender.
Is tender.
And so, And so I just had, I scatter seeded those rows and I just kept them around 2 feet tall and they just held themselves up. I didn't have to trellis them. I mean, I did have to cut them completely to the ground a couple times. You know, one time I think I did 2 to 3 inches because I was planning on taking them out, and that's when they, you know, came back.
And then they came back. Wow.
And I was like, this is a great idea. And then later they, again, started to get out of control, so I cut them down to 5 or 6 inches because I was like, well, let's see if they come back again. And they did. They did great. And I could have done that probably one more time. Because by the end of the season, when I was ready to pull them out of the ground and could have actually let them go for a couple more weeks to keep getting those pea shoots, they were falling over into the aisles about 3 feet tall.
Well, interesting. I have a gold mine in my garden as we speak then because I planted, we're talking about field peas, Austrian field peas. Are we talking about the same thing?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. I use those as a cover crop. And
So
I never even thought about using, you know, the cover crop. Another purpose of it could be to actually have those pea shoots. And then you use them in salads. Do you cook them? I haven't really used them much.
You know, I mostly eat them fresh.
Uh-huh.
I just eat them right out of the bag. You can saute them. I wouldn't cook them too much because I think part of what makes them so good is that they are juicy and they also have a little bit of a crunch to them.
Yeah, and so if you cook them, they're going to turn soggy. So
mm-hmm.
So you actually sold them or you bagged them and
we sold them on the farm, and they were a hit.
Cool. Well, what a great idea. So you can do a cover crop at the same time because you're enriching your soil when you're putting a pea or a legume in. So
right.
Cool.
And those same peas are still, you know, I cut them down and left what was there to protect the soil from erosion for the winter. So there they sit.
There they sit. So multi-purpose peas, yeah. Okay, so do you use a trellis for, so now we're going to go back to regular peas, like either the shell peas or the snap peas. Do you use a trellis system or do you let them flow all over the ground or how do you do yours?
Oh. No, I absolutely trellis them. The flowing on the ground is too chaotic, and it's hard to harvest. And as you've mentioned before, it is just a environment for mold and mm-hmm. pests and mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of trellis do you use?
So right now on the farm, what is there is a trellis made out of rebar and wood for support, and that has worked just fine. And I'll probably continue to use that until we go to rotate the beds. You know, the Skagway Traditional Council bought the farm this year, and so those trellises were already there. Mm-hmm. My preferred trellis is something that's made out of sturdier wood, driftwood or branches, that is an A-frame. So the ones on the farm right now are not an A-frame. They're just straight up. Mm-hmm. And I like the A-frame design because if you build it right with enough room in the middle, then you can actually kind of squeeze into the center, and you can also pick from the inside.
So you can pick from both sides in.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so I think that's preferred. And then the A-frame design, you can make it so that in sections, so that two people can easily move it, and it's not a big hassle mm-hmm. every have to move your trellis. Mm-hmm.
And that is something to consider in our climate. How I do mine is I use the cement reinforcement wire, the 6x6 wire that is very rigid. And mine has to come down every year. So I have a system where I can slap these up and I take a string and tie them to a pole that goes across the top of poles that I stakes that I put into the ground, and then my peas grow up on this 6x6 metal cement wire trellis. So there's lots of different, and it's very important to pick from both sides, is my experience with peas, because if you pick from one side, you're going to miss a whole lot of them. They're good at hiding. So
yeah, you'll miss some anyway.
Yeah, you'll miss some anyway. That's very true. But I think trellising is important in our climate. You can let them grow in the ground, but you are going to lose a lot of them to the slugs and to the mold and all of that. So what about, you did mention about rotating, and I learned the hard way that rotating is an important thing with peas. For years, I grew in the same place until all of a sudden I had my peas really get sickly 1 year, actually 2 years in a row before I figured out that I think what I've got is I've got a black leaf, it's a fungus. And so I'm having to move my peas, and I learned the hard way that it's a good idea to rotate them. And you, your experience, have you had any problems with any of the diseases or anything like that?
You know, I have not had any disease or mold issues with my peas. If I have, it was so minimal that I didn't really notice
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
I have typically rotated where my peas are growing every 3 years or so. And that's just been a precautionary thing and also a practice to, you know, change up what nutrients are mm-hmm. being used, deposited in the beds.
Yep. It's a good practice in the garden for anything. So
right. Mm-hmm. So I haven't had much of an issue. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know that peas don't need a lot of nitrogen, but I do fertilize the peas from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So and I don't know if that is part of
If you're going to fertilize peas, one thing to consider is they don't necessarily need nitrogen given to them because they can
right.
create their own. But that doesn't mean that they can't utilize some other nutrients, the phosphorus and potassium.
One reason I have given peas nitrogen in the past has just been because for aesthetic purposes, because I built a very tall trellis that was designed for an adult to walk underneath. And I wanted to make sure that there were tall peas over the whole thing on both sides.
Mm-hmm. And you wanted that green growth. So
I did.
Yeah. Yes. Cool. Great.
And it worked. They were real tall.
Okay, so one other thing, we're running out of time, and I just want to quickly say that peas are one thing that's fairly easy to save your own seed from, but do be careful to, if you've planted both sweet garden peas and snap peas in the same place, you may not want to save those seeds because they will cross-pollinate. But if you only have one sort of pea planted, you can feel relatively secure that those peas will if they're not a hybrid, you can save those seeds, and they're easy to do. So that's one thing to consider. So, okay, we've got just a few seconds left. Anything else about peas that you want to say, Brooke?
I can't think of anything for the last few seconds.
Okay. Let me tell you.
More to talk about.
There's always more to talk about. And I found this little interesting tidbit of interest that, you know, we've all heard the green thumb. The way the green thumb got to be known is that during back in the day of King Edward's, he loved his peas, his green peas, and so he had serfs that would be shelling peas all day long, and the serf who had the greenest thumb won the prize and had the most accolades. So that's where having a green thumb comes from. It comes from peas, of all things. So, yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Brooke, for sharing your knowledge about peas, and happy gardening, everyone.
Yes. Thanks again, Mardell.